This is Reverend Joseph Caesar, and welcome to the Good News Program. I am truly blessed and honored to be called by God to be His servant to spread the good news of salvation to you all. You have done the right thing. Don't change the channel. You are not here by chance, but by divine guidance. This is Reverend Joseph Caesar coming to you on BBS Radio to bring to you the good news of salvation. And I come in the name of Jehovah. I pray that this evening would be a blessed evening, that you would look into your internal being, and may you give your heart to Christ this evening. I want to talk to you from Proverbs chapter 21, verse 16. And it says, a man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead. My topic this evening is examples of divine justice. You see, my friend, God sets down laws and precepts which must be followed. And you know, sin carry far greater penalties than those committed out of weakness. No sacrifice can be made for sins done deliberately. I want you to follow me clearly. No sacrifice can be done or can be made for sins done deliberately. A person who sins presumptuously, deliberately sets his will to do what he knows is wrong. Nadab and Abihu, Ananias and Sapphira, and Uzzah, all totally aware of the penalties for what they were contemplating, arrogantly rebelled against God's clear and unambiguous instructions. So we need to realize that it is impossible for God to act unjustly and soberly reflect on God's mercy and grace to a prod to repent. I want to draw your attention to the word wonders. I believe with all my heart that most of us do not intend to go astray. We wander into unrighteousness. We wander into sin. But you see the results of whether we deliberately do it or wander into it are the same. That is what the verse says. A man who wanders will rest in the congregation of the dead. And so the assumption in the verse is that the person never gets back on track. And so while he is wandering, even though he does not deliberately plan to go into that direction, he does not consciously turn away from it and get back into the path, back onto the track. And so it is very likely that he is going to end up in the grave, just as it says. You know, human nature is a perverse, wicked. There is in mankind, and therefore in us, human nature is very perverse. This strays away from the norms of God. And therefore in us, the desire to worship God, but human nature wants to be free, to follow itself, to follow its own dictates in regard to how it is going, you know, to worship God. So the result has been a wide variety of religious and mass confusion as to which is the true religion, which is a world in which true values are lost in an ocean of conflicting opinions as to how to live. All of us know God is not pleased with this circumstance, but he is allowing it to continue. Not much longer, but we still have to put up with his patience with us a little while longer. But even while he is allowing us to continue, he is still calling people out of it. He has shown his people have been redeemed from what he calls the traditions of the world. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, and he calls them, these traditions, futile. But the Christian is now responsible for not allowing the world to squeeze him into the mold. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, it says, therefore, we must give the more honest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels prove steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the world and by the Lord, and was confirmed by us, by those who heard him? So, you know, I want to draw your attention to the word wonders. And my friend, I believe with all my heart that most of us do not intend to really wonder. We don't. You see, there is where Paul warns us not to neglect so great salvation. So we have a similar illustration. The person who is neglecting his salvation is not deliberately setting his mind to turn away from God, his way of life. He is simply, through neglect, allowing himself to drift in that direction. He is not planning to go that way. He gets distracted by things in his life, by hobbies, by work, by rearing children, vices, and a great many other things that it could be. It does not matter what it is, but he allows himself to neglect what has been given to him. The metaphor here is that is used here in Hebrews chapter 2 is of a boat that has slipped its mooring. Yes, and it is drifting within the harbor, just drifting with the current. That in itself is telling you there is no control, because but at the mercy of the current. Yeah. The metaphor you must look at. Now, both of these verses tend to point to a major problem we see arise in the end time church of God. We may call it Laodiceanism, and that is a very nice tag to put on it. And you know what? We can comfortably say the word. But are we aware that a Laodicean is a drifter? That's what you had to find out. Are we? A Laodicean is somebody who is hanging on to the best of both possible worlds according to the way that he sees it. He has got one foot in the church, one foot in the world, and he does not realize that he is drifting. He doesn't. Now, this is the kind of person that God says he finds unpalatable. He is going to spit him out of his mouth just because he is lukewarm. Nothing lukewarm. This is good. It's either you're cold or you're hot. But lukewarm, oh, it gives you upset stomach. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 36, it says, "But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. And those who hate me love death." This is a sobering conclusion to think on. We do not like to think of ourselves as loving death. But I want to think of this in relation to the verse that we just read from Proverbs 21 a while ago. The person who is wandering and making no conscious effort to get back on the track, no effort to repent, is drifting with the current. And so would you say that because this person is not really protecting the pearl of great price that he has received, is not taking advantage of the great gift that he has been given in understanding the purpose of God, that he loves that if he is doing nothing to take advantage of what has been given to him? Think of it. Think of it. Think of it. The Bible again consistently shows that those who do not consciously and purposefully direct their lives toward obedience to God in reality loves death rather than life. Christ came to give us life. He gave us a way that we are to follow. He expects that we will make the effort to do so. He said, "I come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly, plentiful, good life." And so if we neglect it, if we just drift, can we say that we are really following his way? I don't think so. I do not think that we can honestly say that we really love his way. The conclusion then, from God's point of view, is that those who are just drifting neglect, in fact, love death. This is not a conclusion that we, you know, should feel comfortable with at all. For God intends that we take the admonition and begin to do something with our life. What has happened in reality is that human nature has deceived the person about one's purpose in life. His drifting is the evidence of what it is that the person really loves. What is so interesting in light of this is that the words most commonly used, both in the Old and New Testament, to indicate sin are both defined as missing the mark. That does not sound to me as though someone has deliberately aimed in the wrong direction. No. It sounds to me as though they have generally aimed to the right, but missed it. That's logic. And the other word that is also translated into the English word sin means to slip or to fall or to wander from the path. Is that not interesting? Yes. Again, you see there is no indication of deliberateness at all whatsoever. But rather, the indication is that either out of weakness or out of ignorance, somehow or another, he unconsciously turns aside. Nobody slips and falls on purpose. Nobody. Not even Charlie Chaplin. Nobody slips and falls on purpose. And nobody wanders out of the way on purpose either. Nobody. You might get lost, yeah, if you wander out of the way. My friend, you see, God understands human nature and that it has a tendency not to want to hold itself steady. He understands because human nature deceives the person into thinking that things are okay the way they are. I think, you know, we can conclude then in regard to like Christmas, that this is a snare. I want to use Christmas. I want it to follow me clearly that, you know, Christmas is like a snare. Remember the scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 30 and 32, where God says to watch out and don't become snared in what the people of the land are doing. So we can say Christmas is a snare. It is a vanity. That is to keep it is futile. What it is saying is that most manufacturers and merchants don't serve God, don't believe in God, don't care. But they will capitalize on Christmas. You see, they set up their stores to the brightest and the best. They beautify the whole store. You can stay on the outside and you are tempted to go inside to see what's inside there. And then when you get inside, the layout is awesome and the right music that thrills you. And guess what? You become so amazed. And then you started to spend your money unwittingly on things that you did not even bargain for. Yeah, it will not produce anything good. That's why it is called a snare. It does not produce anything good. In Mark chapter 7, verse 7, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. In vain it is a vanity for one to do so, and anyone who practices it as a way of life is going to die. You can read that in Revelation chapter 22, verse 14 and 15. And they said, you know, the Bible says it is a snare. It attracts. It is. It is vanity. Though Christmas is attractive, it is still vanity. It will not produce anything good to you. We are going to look at some examples of divine justice. We are going to be looking in on God as he executes judgments against these very sins that we were talking about. The sin of presumptuousness and the sin of syncretism. However, we are going to concentrate mostly on the sin of presumption. And you are going to see some of the most shocking examples of divine wrath in the entire Bible. If you think that this is not something serious to God, I think that by the time you get through studying this, you will have rethought your understanding. Think again. We are not dealing with a light matter here. We are dealing with sins in which ignorance plays only a very small part. It really deals with a sin in which knowledge of what was right is fully available. The people involved in these sins should have known better than to do what they did. It is a kind of situation that we the people of God find ourselves in, those to whom God has given this revelation of what is his way of life, what the gospel is, what God's purpose is. Leviticus chapter 4 verse 2 speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a person who sins unintentionally against any of the commandments of the Lord in anything which ought not to be done, and does any of them, it can be forgiven. Then comes the instruction as to what is to be done. I want us to pay close attention to the word unintentionally, because by the time this is over, you will know that there is no sacrifice for sin of presumption. There is no sacrifice for sins done deliberately. We will define this and make it more specific as we go along. Yeah. In Leviticus chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "Now if the whole congregation of Israel sins uncontinently, and the thing is hidden from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done something against any of the commandments of the Lord, in anything which thou should not be done, and they're guilty, then they gotta kill a lamb or a bull to make a sacrifice." Unintentional. In the case of blindness, in Leviticus chapter 5 verse 17, it said, "If a person sins and commits any of the things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he does not know it, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity." In that case, our blindness does not excuse our guilt. The person is still guilty even though he did not know. Unintentionally, thankfully, includes more than one might think at first glance. It means to them aside and a turn to wonder or to err, to make a mistake, to miss the mark. That is, the person misses the real object in life, which is to obey God and to be holy, and he is holy, and as he is holy. It includes sins done with a degree of consciousness, that is, an awareness of what one is doing. It includes sins done willingly out of weakness, but not sin done deliberately. For example, the Bible clearly differentiates between manslaughter and murder. Manslaughter is the taking of a life accidentally. There was no plan to do it. It just occurred. Well, they had it flew off a hammer and hit somebody in the head, cracked their skull, and they died. Nobody deliberately planned it to that. Nobody planned it that way. There may have been some carelessness involved in it, but it was not something in which the person deliberately set out to do. In the case of murder, it includes the measure of deliberateness. Lying in wait for a person planning to do harm, setting one's mind to do it. It includes a situation in which one burned in anger against someone for quite a period of time. I mean, he had more than time to get over that in order to bring himself under control, but he never did. And then reach the boiling point, the person murdered the other person. In Numbers chapter 15, verse 22-24, it says, "If you sin unintentionally and do not observe all these commandments which the Lord has spoken to Moses, and all that the Lord has commanded you by the hands of Moses from the day the Lord gave commandment onward throughout your generation, then it would be if it is unintentionally committed without the knowledge of the congregation, then an offering must be done. And my friend, despite all this, what I have said there, there is what they call the judgment of divine justice. Divine justice takes a hold because he has set down his precepts, his ordinances, and his laws. My radio friend, I come to the end of this message today. I pray that this message was a blessing to you in the name of Jesus. I also pray that you will have a blessed week at your job, and I pray for my friends at the radio station, BBS Radio, and may God richly bless you. I pray that this message was a blessing to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
If this ministry has been a blessing and helped you through the Word of God, please donate. There's a donate button at the top of the show page. Any amount would be welcomed. Thank you in advance. This money will help keep the program Good News airing on BBS Radio. Remember, Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And Romans 10:9 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved."